Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And on this eve of Christmas Eve, we're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we encourage you to call now. 800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's just unbelievable that Christmas is just around the corner. I mean, 2 days from now.
2 days.
You can no longer say it's going to be as long as Christmas. I mean, that just flies by.
It's past. It's
yes, that's
passed.
Exactly right. But we have an amazing story to tell as far as Christmas is concerned. And it's one of those stories that you just want to hear time and time and time again. I know as our kids were growing up, we had this little book, Goodnight Moon. And every night they would ask, Daddy, Daddy, please read that to me. Well, I've already read it to you 100 times. Well, I want it one more time, just one more time. And I tell you, that's what this gospel story is to me. It's just the story I want to hear time and time and time again. You never tire of hearing this good news about angels appearing to shepherds out in the fields as they guard their flocks by night, as this announcement about a Savior being born in the town of David, Christ the Lord, and this good news that's to be joy to our hearts. And it really is joy to our hearts. God's good news to us is Jesus. That's what we need. That's who we need in our lives. And we have something just wonderful to celebrate, not only at the Christmas season, but every day of the year. Yeah. Christ Jesus being born in us. That's the good news of the gospel.
And that is good news. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. Plenty of open lines, lots of time on the clock. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, this is your best opportunity of the day. Call now quickly, 1-800-677-9377. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk with Oscar listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Oscar.
Yes, sir. And in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 14, it says about the apostle Barnabas. Is he one of the original apostles, or did the apostles make him an apostle?
Well, Oscar, he was not one of the original. There were 12, and then Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, and then they voted Matthias in to take his place, and then the Lord appeared to Paul and set him apart and sent him out to the Gentile world, and he took Barnabas with him on that first missionary journey. Now, the word apostle is simply a word that means one who is sent. So the church at Antioch appointed Paul and Barnabas to go out as missionaries into the world. So in that in that vein, he was called an apostle.
Oh, okay. So Barnabas is an apostle.
He was one that was sent by the early church out to other countries to take the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, lowercase A, not capital
now,
A.
Now, one more question, final question. Did the apostles, they had the authority to choose men to become apostles?
Well, Jesus basically chose the apostles, and Richard made a good point there that we think of the word apostle and one use of it, we capitalize the word apostle. And that is applied to just a certain group of men. And then there's the lowercase apostle, and those are people who are just sent out to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to other places.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome, Oscar.
Thanks, Oscar.
That's a good point, though,
yeah,
isn't
it?
That, you know, man doesn't really pick other people. That's all God's doing, isn't it?
Yeah, and what happened, it's not like a group of guys got together and said, well, who are we going to send? It's the Spirit revealed it to them. And these were people who were already doing work, and it was confirmed, and then these other people just said, how can we not send these people out? This is obviously what they're called to do, and they did it.
Absolutely. It's kind of like Billy Graham. I don't think anybody or any groups or committees here in the United States got together and said, "Hey, let's raise up Billy Graham and send him out there." God put something inside of Billy
yes.
Graham, and people just recognized that, and off he went doing what God had called him to do. Yeah. So always it's God's work of putting his hand on somebody to send them for a certain mission.
Yeah.
And we just simply recognize that.
Good opportunity for you to pose your question on this edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. If there's some pressing issue in your life you'd like to discuss, a great opportunity, as I said, right now. The lines are open. Time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Herman listening to us on WMCA.
No. Hello, Herman.
Yes, good afternoon. I am blind, so I apologize for any inconvenience. I have got this question. They are saying, hello?
Yes,
hello.
We are here.
Yeah, they are saying that no one knows Christ's birthday or date. But there's a period mentioned in Luke chapter 2, last night I had my granddaughter check it out for me. And it says, when Jesus was 12 years old, his mother took him to some feast. One can assume that when we have our birthday, our parents would take us out for a feast or whatever. So if you read chapter 2 of Luke, Luke chapter 2, reading from 41 to 42, it will cover an understanding in that area.
Well, we still don't know the exact date of Christ.
Yes, but the period within that time, because we are saying December 25th. But according to the feast, would be a directive when the Jews, that feast that the Jews got, we know that around that time, we can assume it would give us a better calculation.
Yeah, that would give you a much better calculation. The date December 25th is just something that we just took over. I mean, that was a date. It was a festival to the sun god, and it just seemed to be a good date, and the Roman Empire decided that that was going to be the date that we were going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But that wasn't the official birth date of Jesus Christ.
Okay, because this is what everybody is assuming, that he was born on the 25th, and some people maintain it, you know. And they make it such an expression that it's a reality.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you'll never find December 25th recorded in the Word of God. It is not in the Bible. There is no date recorded in the Word of God as far as his birth is concerned.
But there are some pretty good historical references where we can tie it back to pretty specific areas. That's why people think it's around 3 or 4 B.C., because when you've got, you know, Caesar Augustus and Quirinius and all these other people that when they all served together was around 3 or 4 B.C. And so that's how
around
we approximate
that time of the feast, that's around one month in the year, really.
Yeah. Yeah, you can probably nail it down.
What month is the feast?
Well, feasts occurred in various months of the Jewish calendar.
No, this specific feast that they're talking about, if you read the scripture, I don't know exactly what feast it was, but the scripture should give you a directive as to what the feast was.
Yes, we could look back. I'm doing it from memory, so I'm not going to give you. They went to Passover, verse 41.
Yes,
so Passover was in the spring.
Yes.
And so it was in the spring, and, you know, he was near 12 years old at that time, or had just turned 12, and that's one of the reasons why they believe that Jesus was probably born in the springtime.
Okay, that's a little bit of clarity so far.
Yeah, we'll never have a date. It's just an approximate time, because the
date
wasn't the important thing. It's God with us is the important thing.
True. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Herman. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on a hold. We'll send you this little booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, just as our thanks for being on the program today. You hang on.
1-800-677-9377, time and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. If you'd like to get a copy of Forgiveness, The Door to Life, we have one for you for a gift of any amount. until the end of this month. If you can go online, you can do that at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. Or you can call right now and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours to make your gift and request your copy of Forgiveness, The Door to Life.
Well, in this booklet, this little resource is very important. Not too long ago, a lady named Deborah from Long Island called the program, and she was struggling with this forgiveness issue. And several weeks later, she called back and said, "I definitely feel God put this program in place for me." Why? Because through this broadcast, she was able to work through that issue, all of the confusions that she had as far as her forgiveness of sin. She didn't realize that Christ had taken away her sins once and for all. She didn't realize that Jesus had finished the work. She didn't realize that in Christ she had received total forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. And this broadcast helped her along that process till she came to that point and was able to settle that issue once and for all and actually rest confidently in her salvation. I mean, when we struggle with that, we have doubts like crazy. I mean, almost daily we're wondering, you know, has this sin been forgiven? And that just leads to the next question. Well, if that sin isn't forgiven, then am I really saved? And if I'm not really saved, then what do I need to do? Have I crossed that line? And so there's all sorts of doubts and fears and insecurities that cloud our mind, that confuse us. And the Word of God, this basic gospel message, cuts through all of that, gives clarity, and brings a person to that point where they can truly rest and believe what Christ has done on their behalf. And that was the case for Deborah. And we were so grateful when she called to say what she did. That was such an encouragement to us. But I want to let our listeners know that when you support this broadcast, when you give of your resources to help us continue to air this program each and every day, you are involved in stories like that, helping the Deborahs of this world gain assurance of salvation, understand that their sins have been totally forgiven, to really get connected to the love of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for all that you do. Gifts of $10, $50, $100 really make a difference in the lives of people all around the world.
There are some that could step up to the plate with $1,000 or $5,000 and never even miss it. So we encourage you to go online. Be a part of the support of Basic Gospel Daily on this particular radio station that you're listening to right now. You can find that prominent link at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Well, again, time on the clock. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us. Thomas from Colorado had a question. It says, what does Paul mean in 1 Corinthians 7 when he says to remain where you are when you were called? And if you are single when you come to Christ or when you become a Christian, why does Paul recommend not seeking a wife? I'm not sure what Paul is fully trying to communicate in this particular chapter. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 7 and the question from Thomas in Colorado.
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, the Bible from start to finish really praises marriage. I mean, God created marriage from the very beginning, that male and female would become one. It's always been one man, one woman. That's always been God's design. Jesus Christ talked about that as well. And then the Apostle Paul did. He commended marriage as well. So marriage is always seen as a good thing in God's sight. I love the book of Proverbs, I think it was Solomon wrote, that he who has found a wife has found a good thing. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like the prize. The most important thing as far as relationships are concerned here. But in 1 Corinthians, it seems like Paul kind of strays from that a little bit. But that's not the case at all, is it, Richard?
No, you have to understand, read the rest of the first letter to the Corinthians and get a picture of what was going on. He had to deal with some really tough issues. I mean, they had temple prostitution, people were trading partners all over the place. It was a very, very hard city to be a Christian in. and yet people were being touched by the gospel every day and were coming to the little house churches, and they came warts and all. They came with their baggage. They came with whatever was going on. And Paul is discipling these people. He's mentoring them. And he deals with all of the, you know, not maybe not all of them, but many, many of the issues that were affecting marriages at that time and in that place. And he's, in every case, what he's trying to do is get them to stop looking at this problem or that problem, but to put everything in the context of Jesus and walking by faith in the risen Jesus and the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that you can be led from the inside out rather than trying to change things from the outside in. And so whether he's talking to single people or widows or unmarrieds or people who are in situations where they've got one believing spouse and one unbelieving spouse, the all of this is incredibly practical and focused on Jesus and allowing them to make intelligent choices because of the indwelling Spirit, rather than coming to blows practically. It's what you see when marriages don't work. It's incredibly wise counsel that he goes through
indeed.
Here.
And as a matter of fact, you know, this whole chapter is talking about marriage, but here in verse 17, that's where he says each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. He kind of strays from the marriage discussion, and he says, you know, if you were circumcised when the Lord called you, remain that way. If you were uncircumcised, remain that way.
Yeah.
You know, we have so many people who are Gentiles who come to Christ, and then immediately they want to become Jewish. They want to adopt all of the festivals and just live a Jewish way of life. Well, that's not what it's talking about at all. What counts is the fact that you have been made a new creature in Christ. What counts is that now you have the Spirit of God living in you. That's what marks you out as a child of God. Not all of these external things that we engage in that we think are so important. It's really the inward work of the Spirit, as you were talking about.
Yeah, I see this very closely paralleled with what he wrote to the Philippians, where he talked about contentment. You know, don't be fighting it all the time. Just let God be God and to lead you through whatever you're going through, and it's going to be okay. His grace is sufficient, and marriage and, you know, status is no different.
Yes, indeed. Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We would love to hear from you. If you have something on your mind, a question about a Bible verse, an issue that you're going through, we are available to point you into the Word of God. So go ahead and call right now, 1-800-677-9377.
I think a lot of folks are out Christmas shopping.
I think so.
In the meantime, a question from Brent, who lives in Langley, British Columbia, says, Job 1:6 says the sons of God and Satan presented themselves before the Lord. They had a dialogue with God. He says, I think it was Isaiah who said that Satan fell to earth like lightning. I don't understand how Satan was cast down to earth but still has access to speak to God. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, so I guess he must be in heaven accusing us before God. How can he be in heaven? Does Satan live outside our time domain? Does he know the end from the beginning? If he knows he's going to lose, why doesn't he just give up?
Because he's deceived.
Yeah.
That's Satan.
That's what he does.
That's right. Plain and simple, he's deceived. He tries to deceive us, but in trying to deceive us, he becomes even more deceived. I mean, even at the end, he's going to try to gather armies to fight against the Lord. How ridiculous is that? And there's not even going to be a battle. Jesus is just going to speak, and it's going to be done. But yet he maintains that lie that if he will do his best, he can beat God and take over. That's what moves him. That's what compels him. And he tries to capture as many people as he possibly can.
Yeah.
Now, all the ins and outs of Satan zooming up to heaven and accusing us before God and all of that sort of stuff, how all that works, I don't know. It just says in the Word of God that that's what happens. Satan accuses us, but his accusations hold no water. That's the whole point that we need to realize, that if God is for us, who can be against us? All of the judgment, all of the punishment went upon Jesus Christ. In him, there's no condemnation. So Satan can do everything in his power to present a case against us, but it will be thrown out because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can rest in that and count on that as a fact, as a truth, as something that will truly change us from the inside out.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one thing, one of the phrases they used in there, does Satan know the end from the beginning? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Satan is a created being. Only God, infinite God, knows the end from the beginning, not created beings, and specifically not Satan.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate those of you who drop us a line by email to pose your question or your particular need, and you can do so if you have one by going online to basicgospel.net, a prominent link right there, and we'd love to address your question on a later edition of this broadcast.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Lynn listening to us on WMCA today. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Richard. God bless you guys today.
Thank you.
And the other Bob.
Hello, Lynn.
God bless you. I have a question. Well, not really. I don't know if it's much a question, but you guys have been a tremendous blessing to me the last several months since WMCA switched their format a little bit. The verse that says, narrow is the way, and small is the road that leads to eternal life, and broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. That, to me, is probably the most disturbing, or one of the most disturbing verses in the Bible. And I guess the reason I'm asking is because, Jesus, he did such, he paid such an incredible price for us.
Well, what he's saying, Lynn, let me jump in. We're just about out of time. This passage is in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Jesus is just preparing the way for some of the amazing statements that he's going to make about himself. One, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the gate. So if we're going to enter into salvation, it has to be through Jesus Christ. So many people do not find that way. Why? Because they are trying to enter in through their own self-effort, through their own pride, through their own ego. That's the wide way that leads to destruction.
Quick question concerning it. Since, you'd think, I forget what book it is actually in the Old Testament. He's saying, in that last and terrible day, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And, God has made it so easy. So
he has, Lynn.
To me, it seems like there's going to be so many people that, that find the wide road. And I'm wondering why it's so easy. God has made it so easy. Why? I mean, to me, I think there's around 7 billion people.
Simple answer to that, Lynn. Light came into the world, but the world loved darkness more. It's just a plain and simple answer. Well, Lynn, thanks for your call today.
God bless you. Merry Christmas to the both of you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Thanks. We appreciate everybody joining us today. And if you agree that this message is vital to the body of Christ in your area, as it was to Deborah, as Bob Christopher was sharing just a few moments ago, and if what you hear each day on this broadcast is benefiting you, then we need your help to keep the good news coming. We believe it's the most important message on the airwaves. It's why we are here every day, and I have to believe it's why you listen as often as you can. But as you well know, it requires financial resources to remain on the air. And in fact, we need to see an additional donation sum of around $240,000 by the end of this month. And we know that many of you can step up with a significant Christmas time or year-end gift to help meet that particular need. $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000 or more. Every gift, no matter how large or how small, helps. Can we count on you to help keep the good news coming? We need your support right now before the clock strikes midnight on the 31st. Please join in the celebration of Christmas with a gift today. Whatever you can do, we need you to stand with us today. Give what you can, and may God bless you and your gift to this ministry. As a reminder, the booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. You can do that right now, 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. And thank you for your consideration. Thank you for joining with us. And for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Christmas Eve edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.